Morning. Is this loud enough? Can you hear me? Okay. Alrighty. It is good to be in the house of God. Bible tells us we should be. And all that. And it's not always easy sometimes to get into the house of God the way that you want to. It's not exactly easy all the time to do what you're supposed to do anyway. Sometimes it's a little harder. You know that. I guess I'm finding that out. The longer I go, the older I get, the little harder it is. I used to think I'd be young and strong all the time. Now I'm neither. I don't know what's going on. Well, anyway, I was looking through the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning, and some things stuck out to me, especially in our day and age and stuff like that. And I thought it would be a good topic to talk about for those that are here and to try to get an idea across all that to everybody, not just one, two, three people. And all that. And I'm going to be reading in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel, chapter 22. These verses have meant something to me when I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience, but while I'm praying and asking God what He wants to have ministered this morning, that I just caught onto an idea, and I was actually studying the Sunday school lesson, and all this stuff started coming to me, and I just started writing. No. Don't take that wrong. I mean, I was conscious. I knew what I was doing, but I was writing stuff down, too. It wasn't automatic, you know, trance, you know. None of one of those things. I was just writing it, you know. So I believe that that's the topic God would want. It's a necessary topic. It's needed for all of us. Not just one or two, it's for all of us and all that. And in chapter, what did I tell you? Chapter 22, I'm going to read verse 29 and 30 and 31. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon the heads, saith the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and God, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of all my brothers and sisters that are here today, God. And I'm asking, God, do you use your word, God, to touch each heart, each mind, and each soul, to lead and to guide me, God, in the direction you want me to go, so that you will receive all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, my idea basically was this. I read the 29th verse. The people of land have used oppression. We can look at that in a lot of different ways. And exercise robbery, which we know that, and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger. It also says in the book of, in the New Testament, all that, these are perilous times. And this matches up with perilous times. Now, perilous times can go in a lot of different directions and all that, but my main thought today is that it's a perilous time for our country, for our world. And if anybody has any idea or way of knowing or reading, looking, watching, listening to the news and stuff like that, yes, it can be discouraging. It can be disgusting, but we do need to know what's going on. Now, some people, I've heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He never read a newspaper. He would never read nothing except one book, the Bible. And he saw hundreds and thousands of people saved, maybe, and stuff like that. But I'm saying we have these devices today that we're able to keep track of what's going on and seeing just how close the coming of the Lord really is. Now, if we stop and think about the coming of the Lord, the next question would be, are we ready? Right? Are we ready for when the Lord comes back? I look at myself almost every day and wonder and pray about, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? I don't think it's foolish or dumb to say to keep searching yourself. There are so many things that are outside in a lot of different ways, billboards, magazines, television, the radio, the internet, this, that, and the other thing. Well, we even carry that garbage around with us on our little phones and all that. Oh, you know, we got a lot of ways, a lot of things out of that. 100 years ago, I don't know who I was talking this morning. That's what I was talking about here this morning. And what did we ever do before we got our cell phones? How did we exist without our cell phones? And all that. I remember a time if you had to have a phone call, you had to wait around the house. You had a landline and just wait. Well, nobody called me. Well, nobody was in there. Don't worry about it. Well, I have to, you know, it's just there's some. Where we've come today, we've got everything almost in the palm of our hands on that. I mean, I did not know this. I didn't even think about it. My brother went to Maui. You know where Maui is in the Hawaiian Islands and all that. I did not know it. I didn't realize it, think about it, that I could have called him from Kane, Pennsylvania on his cell phone. I didn't know that. And all that. I did not know it would go that way. I know in a landline you're going to play mucho or something. But I did not know you could go that far with it, you know. Well, it's part of the United States, so that's where we're going. But anyway, I saw it says here that the oppression. Now, you can look at a lot of people being oppressed today and all that through government, through schools and everything. Our young people are just as involved in it as anything and all that. And they've exercised robbery. I mean, things that people do for one another or against one another called robbery and have vexed the poor and all that. I mean, how many makes $100,000 a year here? Nobody? You know that you're in poverty? Did you ever know that? You can make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, but you're in poverty? And all that? I'm just talking at the moment that's going. Vex the poor and the needy, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. All right? We don't want to oppress the stranger or anything else. Now, then God says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. All right? God has sought for a man. In this day and age, we've got so many things going against us. But sought for a man. He was looking for a man. He wanted a man to stand in the gap between him and what was going on. And all that. He wanted a man to do that. Now, I'm saying man, but I'm talking Christian, okay? There have I poured out my indignation upon them. Sometimes I wonder, looking at all the things that are happening in the United States and over the world, it kind of looks a little bit more than I used to see when I was younger. A lot of things are going on. But anyway, he was, I sought for a man. All right. Now, why would he say, I sought for a man? Is it because religious leaders have failed? A lot of areas. And a lot of times. Not everybody, not all the religious leaders have failed, but the religious leaders have failed generally and all that. Now, somebody said, well, I'm being hard on, well, got a brother right here, a religious leader, and I'm telling him he failed. Huh. Now, how would you like someone like that? For I sought for a man, I desired a man. All right? I desired a man that would stand up for me in the land and do my bidding the way I want it done. He desires that. I desired a man. And then we can also say woman if you want that. But I desired a person to stand. Yet today, well, we got some religious leaders have softened everything because they don't want to upset somebody. Jesus told us that he came to bring division. And the more that we ignore that, it's to our peril. He came to bring division, to divide father and son, mother and daughter, mother and sons, all that. He brought division because of the way man had set up their life and what they feel and what they believe. Look at what happened to the Jewish temple. All right? How many times was the Jewish temple destroyed? How many? Three? Two? One? Three? Two? How many? Twice, right? I always thought it was twice, but it's okay. But they were destroyed. I sought after a man to stand for me. I desired a man that would stand up and not be afraid to give the people my word and my ways. I desired that. I wanted that. I did not want to destroy or come down on any land or any country. I desired somebody that would stand before God, before me, and search me, call on me, pray to me. I sought somebody. I desired it. I did not want to do this to this country or any other country. I sought. I desired. I wanted, God says. Well, what did it say? I found none. We're too busy in our baseball games, and we're too busy in our soccer games. We're too busy in any kind of games that we can't do this. We got to do this, or we got to do this because that's the way we have to do it because of kids and stuff like that. The most important thing you'll do as a parent and stuff is make sure your children know the way of God. You can't make them or force them to follow it, but you can stand in the gap between the world and your family and proclaim what God wants. We don't got that. Too many people are backing away. Too many preachers are afraid to say, you're going to hell if you sin. That's how they stood. You're going to hell if you sin. What sin? Read the Bible. See what God calls sin. You break the Ten Commandments. That's the only thing people think of. But those Ten Commandments, if you really look at it, covers a wide, long, deep range of things. Yet, God couldn't find nobody. He desired a man, a person, I'm just going to say, to stand in the gap, to ask for forgiveness for the country and for the land. That's what he wanted. Stand in the gap. The gap. Parents got to stand in the gap. We hear it in the news today where parents are trying to stand in the gap between school boards and what's right. That's what we hear. Standing in the gap. God wants his people to stand in the gap for their country, for whatever's going on for their family. That's what he wants. He also hunted. Let's just see. Yeah, and hunted. I mean, he didn't just say, boy, I wish, and boy, I want. He scoured the land. Maybe he walked among the people. I don't know about this. I'm just talking right now. But maybe he actually walked among the people. He's done that before. Remember the three visitors with Abraham? He was here. He walked. Now people can say, well, I don't know. I believe a guy can do whatever he wants. And all that. And if it's to come down and to look for, to hunt for a man, a hunt, desired, he desired it. And then he hunted for a person to preach the word. Hunted for a person to do his will and to tell others what his will is. No, like I said, you cannot force it. You cannot force the word of God on anybody that doesn't want to listen. You can't force it. If they look at you and they say, I don't want to hear it, quiet. Just be quiet. But if you can get another, if you can wait and you can hear a little opening, use it. Well, I wasn't supposed to. I know if I should have prayed about it. Oh, give me a break. You're supposed to be a Christian. If you have the opportunity, speak. What are we afraid of? Well, they may get mad at me at school. Let them. They may get mad at me at work. Let them. They may get mad at me at the store. Let them. Who said we're going to have an easy way? Who says we're going to have it perfect? Who says it's going to be flowery roses and all? Remember the song, and I've said it before, I never promised you a rose garden. God didn't promise us a rose garden to do his work. Did he? All right, so he came and he hunted for a guy. I mean, sometimes we want to find a good mechanic. Is there such a thing? Anyway, we want to find a good mechanic. Well, what do? We desired one, so we hunt for one. We try to find one that's a good mechanic to fix what we got to have fixed. And that's all there is to it. All right. I'm cutting there. And he needed a man. God needed a man. Can you believe that? God needed a man to stand in the gap, to perform his wonders. God needed a man. God could have come down here in a beautiful form, whatever form, and the angels and stuff. He could have come down, okay, and talked to us. But he chose what? Men to do his word. He chose men to reach men. For men to reach people, countries. All right, I can't remember when it was right now, but why back now he messed up our languages? And the best thing about it, if you really read, which I believe a lot of you do, and all that, you find out there's been many times in many countries God had brought people to salvation, and they went ahead in their own countries and they were the missionaries and all that, and they reached God. But he needs you and me. Because now, I say he needs you and me. He needs you and me, but he doesn't have to need us. He doesn't have to need us. He could make us zombies, robots, but he doesn't want that. He wants to be a friend of mankind. Oh my God. God wants to be your friend. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him and be with him and remember him, think about him and all that. Whoever you guys, I know people who have good friends at work or wherever, they're just good friends. And I think it's a great thing to have a friend. The Bible tells you we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that? That's Jesus. But you know one thing else. He wants us to have friends. Well, we can reach those friends And we can help one another. He wants us to have friends. All right, but the thing is, right now, he's our friend or not. He needs man because he wants to need man to reach the world. You come down, you have an angel come down. Excuse me. You have an angel come down and going to tell you all about the kingdom of God and the blessings of God that you can have on this earth, right? What are you looking at? You possibly could say, yeah, you got it made. You're already up there. All right? But just stop and think about it. They don't send the angels around. I know you married an angel, right? Yeah. I'm going to pass that one. But he didn't send an angel down. He wants you to reach people. He wants you to be him. He wants you to reach people and to tell them about the salvation that everybody needs. Everybody needs. One way. And all that's what he needs. Right. And the thing is, our spiritual leaders have dropped the standards. They've dropped standards. Why? Because you can't tell people to live in holiness life. Why can't you tell them? Nobody in here that I know has been in the service. But when they told you something, you better have done it. You better do it if they tell you to do it. Wait a minute. Excuse me back there. Somebody in the service, if they tell you to do it, you just do it and you don't ask why. The same thing with God. You know his word, he speaks to your heart, do it. Don't ask him why. You can, and he'll answer you. And all that. It'll be better. If he answers you, it's better than when you have you in the military and you ask why. They look at you and say, because I said so. That's it. That sounds like mere parents raising kids. Because I said so. And all that. That's happening. So what we're going on here is the standards were dropped. We don't want to drop standards. Why do you think we're in trouble right now? I say in trouble, but why do you think we're in trouble right now? Because the standards have dropped. Honestly, they've dropped. Pentecostal churches are just as bad as some of the other ones. But they want the money. They want the people come in because that's tithes. That's money. And everything else. It's just that way. Oh, I don't believe that. Okay, fine, don't believe it. But look around, open your eyes half as big as your mouth, and you'll find out what's going on. Sometimes people are doing this all the time when they should be listening. And I can honestly say to you, I don't know what it's like to miss something in hearing anymore. You know why? Because I just about miss everything anyway. My hearing aids don't pick up everything. And all that. But I wear them. At least, thank God I was able to get them. And all that. So what I'm trying to tell you today is that today, we just need to stand in the gap. He wants a man. He wants a woman, wherever they're at. He wants a young person in school, wherever, to stand in the gap and not be afraid. Jesus says, don't be afraid of what man can do to you, but be afraid of him who can throw your body and soul into hell. Be afraid of him. And that means, by the word afraid, basically it goes back, means respect him, understanding. And the trouble today, we need the respect in the church. You need a lot of respect in churches all over the place. And how does that respect show up? The respect that a person has for God will show up from head to foot, from left to right. That respect will show up if you respect God. Well, God doesn't care whether, if he doesn't care, why is it in his word? If he doesn't care what we wear, why is it in his word? Why? You went to school. You went to school. Why does God care about what we wear? Reflection. We don't wear robes today. Okay. Moderation, modesty, and stuff is what we're supposed to dress. And guys, don't think you can walk around with your chest hair sticking out or anything like that. You got to be modest. Modest is just using your head, using common sense. Now, some people will push it even farther to a different thing, to that, or to that's getting also tiring, listening to all the bunch of baloney and malarkey people bring up about everything. But the thing is, what if it's in God's Word, it's what He wants. And He wants a person to stand in the gap. To stand up for Him. Does God need us to stand up for Him? No. God don't need us to stand up for Him. He can take care of Himself. Right? He can take care of Himself. But He wants us to stand in the gap, to pray for the country, to pray for our brothers and sisters, to pray for the church, to pray for the pastors, to pray for everything. And at least somebody will say, well, did you ever hear the two-minute preacher? There was a minister that used to go around in the village, and they would call him the two-minute minister. There was more miracles done by this guy than a lot of people, than people could ever imagine. He would walk over, walk up and knock on the house door. Person would come and he'd tell him who he was. He said, I want to pray for you. In less than 2 minutes, he did that, took the hand, prayed for them, for their needs. Went to the next house. I want to pray for you. Less than 2 minutes, people were healed, people, all the kinds of changes, and it just, because of him, the churches were getting fuller and all that, because just 2 minutes. Well, I thought you had to pray a half hour. Well, you pray to God. let me ask this. I was going to say, I'll ask my wife how many times she has to ask me for something, but I better hold my peace on that. But sometimes somebody asks you, you want something? You ask them. Sometimes you get okay. Sometimes you go, I don't know. Some is, huh? Whatever. You know, and so what happens? You might get it. You might not get it. But with God, you call on Him no matter where you are. No matter what you're doing. No matter what the problem is. And all that. Oh, for Riley to pray for her dad and say, Lord, give him enough gas to go to work. Give him enough gas to go to work. And all that. That's praying. You haven't got to be big, long, drawn out thing. Prayer just means you're calling upon him and everything else. I pray a lot, and I say, call my wife and ask her, what's for supper? I'm asking her for what's for supper. And I'm actually a prayer to her. I'm just trying to make it simple to understand. Is that you don't have to make a, you can have, I go, a lot of times my wife is driving, and I'm praying. And I'm not because she's driving, but because I'm start praying. Well, me, you know, and I'll go ahead and I start praying. And I'll pray about people. I'll pray about situations. I pray about the church. I pray for the pastor. Listen to things I'm going down. She doesn't know I am. I'm just, sometimes she'll go, what's on your mind? And I'll go, nothing. Know that. But I'm praying for people. I even pray for you guys. And all that. That's praying. God help me. It's prayer. So God wants a person to stand in the gap. We see things going on in this world today that we never thought we would ever see. We see things going on in this world. country today that we thought we would never see or anything else. And it's getting a little worse all the time. What are you doing about it? Are you standing in the gap? Are you praying for the country, for all these things, what's going on? The bad things, for God to stop them, for the good things, bring in the good things? What are you doing? Are you standing in the gap? Well, there ain't much we can do about it. I mean, it's just like I know people who want to talk about, well, I don't vote. Well, why? Well, it doesn't mean anything. Well, to me, I vote. Can one vote change things? Yeah, it could. Well, we're talking 75 million people voting, but the point still is I still voted. I can say what I want and everything else. All right? I'm standing in the gap for what I feel. What I feel is right, I'll vote for. What I feel is not right, I ain't going to vote for. But standing in the gap, would you stand? We need to stand in the gap. God will use us. God can lead us. God can guide us. And all we have to do sometimes is go, if you're walking down the street saying, oh God, how many of you in these last week, couple weeks we had beautiful weather? Huh? Before the fire and all? How many of you, this is just for you to know, how many of you looked up and said, God, thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for the weather. And thank you for tomorrow's weather, if you read the report. How many have thought about that? That's a prayer. That's thanking God. That's glorifying God. That's honoring God. And all that. How many? I thank God for my wife all the time. There's not another woman on this earth that could put up with me. No way. I prayed for my son back there. I won't go any farther than that. But this is what I'm talking about. You can pray. Doesn't have to be long. And I think that you have a friend, whoever has a close friend, and you're walking down the street, and maybe like at school or something like that, and you're just talking back and forth about things, you know, talk to God. Prayer is so easy, but God wants us to remember Him. And He wants us to stand in the gap for our country, for our churches, for our people, for people all over the globe. Stand in the gap and pray that God blesses them and helps them, leads them and guides them and strengthens them for missionaries, for preachers. Like I said, sometimes you got some kind of preachers all over the country and you got to make sure they line up with the Word of God. And there's some that's on the boob tube or the TV and stuff. I wouldn't turn them on for nothing. Because I'm going to say my own words are flakes. I'm there something else besides being Christian and everything else. But I'm trying to tell you, stand in the gap. God wants us to. Of whatever situation you're in, stand in the gap. And God will bless. God will lead and guide. Keep your mind on Him and everything else. You want me to close with you? All right. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today, for your blessings, God. We thank you, Lord, for the Word. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. And God, we're asking, God, that today your will be done in our hearts in every area. We thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to have. And we're asking you, God, to bless and sanctify for the nourishment, God, of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.